I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting this evening. Maybe we could start with number 13. Man of Sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's sing about that Savior tonight. Number 13. Man of Sorrows. Tonight, I'd like to read a verse before we sing this in Job chapter 36 and verse 18. It says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. I have the responsibility this evening of the gospel, the responsibility of your soul, if you would, tonight. And I trust that you would listen tonight as the destiny of your soul is in your hands. What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? Let's sing number 9. Someone start that.
Thank you.
I was sitting over on this side this afternoon, or yesterday I guess it was, I saw three young people raise their hand when they were listening, when the question was asked whether or not they were listening and understood. So I think there are probably more hands that were missed. I'd like to give the young people the benefit of the doubt there. But I cannot read your hearts. I can see your faces, and everybody here looks like they're pretty honest. You look like you'd make a good Christian. But I can't read your heart. I don't know if you are saved tonight. So like this verse says that we read, because there is wrath, you have the responsibility tonight to give a warning of what lies ahead for you if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 19. I want to talk a little bit about Lot's wife tonight and four or five things that we can remember about Lot's wife. I'll just read the account in the one chapter here in Genesis 19. Genesis 19 and 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. But they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out now to us, unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with him than with thee. With them. And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Sons-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened, and Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, and thou hast showed me unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is the little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar. There's five things I want to go over, but before we do that, I want to read a reference to this in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Five things we want to remember about Lot's wife. One, she had a chance. Two, Lot's wife, she had a warning that was given. Three, Lot's wife was almost saved. Number four, Lot's wife rejected salvation. And five, for Lot's wife, there was judgment. I'd like to start with choice. She had a choice. Why don't we look over in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Lot's wife had a choice to obey God. And you tonight have a choice. You can choose whether or not you want to listen. You can choose whether you want to, what you want to do after the meeting's over. But most importantly, you have a choice tonight between life and death. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Blessing and cursing. Which would you rather have? Is blessing on the one hand, cursing on the other? Life or death? Heaven or hell? Repentance or rejection? Repentance or rejection? There has to be an action taken by you tonight. Repentance or rejection? If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior as yet, then you're rejecting Him. That's very serious. The Lord Jesus, He knows that you have that struggle between this life and death. But He tells you, choose life. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a life that lasts forever. It doesn't stop and start. Lot, he was carrying on in a poor way. He went down into the city of Sodom, a city of wickedness. God was going to judge that wickedness. And Lot was right in there with all that wickedness. Yet he didn't lose his salvation. We're told that Lot was a righteous man. He was rescued out of that city. And you too can have that eternal life that God has to offer you tonight. But you have to make a choice. That choice is yours. I can't make it for you. Your mom and dad can't choose it for you. They would pray for it for you, that you would have life. But you have to choose life yourself. Number two, remember Lot's wife, that she had a warning that was given. The angels came in and told Lot and his wife to flee, to get out of the city. God was going to judge it. And you too have a warning tonight. Amos chapter 4, verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. You have to be ready. One day God is coming. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to return. There's a lot of speculation about the year 2000. The Lord may probably come before that. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord? He's ready for you tonight. But are you ready to meet Him as your Maker? You don't know when you're going to die, and we don't know when the Lord's going to come. We can turn to Matthew chapter 3. I can just quote the verse in Matthew 3. There's another verse that says, flee from the wrath to come. There is wrath. We read about that in Job, because there is wrath. That's why we have the gospel meeting, to warn you about the coming wrath against sin. But in Matthew 3 and 7 it says, flee from the wrath to come. Remember when I was working in New Jersey driving a truck, I had to deliver some cement wall sections up to a prison up in North Jersey. And these were big wall sections, probably stood about 35, 40 feet high, and weighed probably 10, 15 tons. They were big pieces of concrete. And I got to the job site this one day, and usually we just stand around and tell the foreman we're there and talk with the other workers around there until they're ready for our load. Well, this day the foreman, he was standing over by the wall that's already been erected. So I went over there and handed him my paperwork. But today he told me, okay, you go get in your truck and wait for us, and we'll call you. So I turned around, walked down toward my truck. I hadn't gone more than 30 seconds, and everybody started running around. There was a big commotion. I looked back. The boom of the train is shaking, and the cable is swinging, and everybody's running back and forth. So I go back over there to see what happened. And here, this foreman that I was just talking to just a few moments before, that big wall section fell off the crane, landed on the walls that had already been erected, and knocked about four of them down. One man was working next to the wall, and it broke his arm. It fell on him. Another man had a ladder up against the wall, and he fell, and he got banged up too, and they had to rush him off to the hospital. But that foreman, where I was standing just moments before, he was underneath that wall that had fallen. So I stood around to see what that man, when they raised up that wall section, and that man was in a running position, just ready to run, but he didn't make it. He was too slow. The days before that, the men carry on, their language isn't always the best, and they were using the Lord's name in vain. We're told in Psalm 139 that the enemies of the Lord use His name in vain. So I knew that man was not a Christian, but I never said a word to him. I never handed him a tract. I was afraid to be a fool for Christ. I was afraid they would laugh at me. If I had known that wall was going to fall on him, I would have taken him and dragged him out of there. But I knew there was hell ahead for that man, but I said nothing. Tonight I have the responsibility to tell you about hell that is ahead for you if you reject the Lord Jesus, if you continue on pretending to be a Christian, faking, fooling your parents, fooling your friends. Flee from the wrath to come. The third thing we wanted to mention about Lot's wife was that Lot's wife was almost saved. She was out of the city. She was up the mountain. All she had to do was keep on going. She was out of harm's danger. She was almost saved. I know many of you here are brought up in a Christian home. You have Christian parents. You learn verses at Sunday school. Some of you quoted them this morning. You pray every night before you go to bed, perhaps. You've listened to the gospel many, many times. Perhaps you hold the gospel in high regard. What does it really mean? What does it mean to you? You're almost saved. If I were to ask you, are you a Christian? You'd probably say, yeah. I remember Mr. Berry at the gospel tent. He'd always make me nervous because I knew he'd ask me if I was saved. And he'd always say, you don't look very happy today. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Then one day we went swimming to the little creek they had there. And they used to dive off the rock there. This year it was a little dry and there wasn't much water in there. And I dove off the rock and landed on a rock underneath the water. Mr. Berry dragged me out downstream and they took me off to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, my dad asked me, are you saved? Yeah. But I knew down deep I wasn't. I could fake, I could pretend, but I wasn't really saved. How about you? Do you let people know? Say, oh yeah, I'm saved. Are you really? I'm not talking about just believing that there's a God. We're told that the devils believe and they tremble. Do you have sense enough to tremble before God in your sins? Because there is wrath. There is judgment. You're almost saved. Paul was speaking with King Agrippa, and King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We sang that song in Sunday school, almost persuaded. There's another verse to that that wasn't on this. Almost persuaded. Almost is but to fail, almost cannot avail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Lot's wife was almost saved. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to apply this verse to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? A reprobate? I think that would be somebody who says they're saved, they pretend they're saved, but they're not. Pretenders, fakers, a reprobate. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12. It's a very serious thing to pretend to be saved. Very serious thing to turn your back temporarily on the Lord. Maybe when you're in front of your friends and your family and at meetings, you know how to act, you know how to conduct yourselves. You know how to look like a Christian on the outside. But what's inside? What do you do when you're by yourself? What do you think about when you're by yourself? What do you think about when you're at school? How do you act when you're at school? What's your conduct like when you're outside the sphere of Christianity? A few verses here in Matthew chapter 31. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. When you're first saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you have Him living inside of you. You take God with you wherever you go. And He guides and controls and directs. Do you listen to His leading? Or do you go off and carry on just like those at school? Do you carry on in your parties? And you know what you can get involved with. But when the Holy Spirit is inside of you, He gives you the power to live otherwise, to live a godly life, a life like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But if you carry on in your own ways, and you say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, but I still do all this other nonsense, It doesn't jive. It doesn't add up. I will see by your life and your actions, maybe not just here at a weekend of Bible meetings, but those who live around you, your parents, your friends, they see you. They know what you are capable of doing. They know what you do. And we are known by our fruits, our actions, our lives. I can look at you and your life and say, oh, he's probably a... Or, but the way you cheat and you do different things, what you allow in your lives, say, well, maybe he's not a Christian. I know one fellow, had a friend, haven't seen him for a while, and maybe he's not a friend anymore. But a place where I worked, the boss knew this fellow. And he said to me, does he go to your church? And I said, not anymore. I knew he'd carried on a lot, drinking, partying, wine, women, song. And he said, well, what about his brother? I know he doesn't go to your church. And it's embarrassing to have to hang your head and say, yeah, he does. Is that you? How do you conduct yourselves? How do you act when you're away from your Christian environment? And you say you're a Christian. As soon as you say you're a Christian, you say, I have God living inside me. The Holy Spirit indwells me, leads me, directs me. And you go off and do all and carry on with this sinful life. I question whether or not you are saved. The fruit of the Spirit we're given is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on. Same chapter gives the fruits of the flesh. And if that's what you're producing, I think you better consider seriously tonight whether or not you're saved. Either you're saved and your life shows it, or you're not saved and your life shows it. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Is this you? Were you once enlightened? Do you know the gospel? You've enjoyed Christian blessing in your home. You know the values of Christianity. Maybe you even have some of the Christian virtues in your life that you picked up just from living in that atmosphere. You're enlightened. You know the truth. You know how to be saved. But if you should fall away, if you get carried away with your own self-will, not wanting to do what God wants you to do, but what you want to do, and you reject the Lord Jesus, and you go off on your own life, doing your own thing, doing it your own way. It is impossible, it says, to renew to repentance. By God's grace, some have been reached by the love of the Lord. Even though they've turned away, they have been reached. It's not for me to decide whose heart's going to be hardened and whose heart is not. My responsibility is to give you the gospel tonight. But if you turn away from what you know to be right, you're hardening your heart. And the more often you say no to the gospel, how old are you tonight? And how many times have you heard the gospel? And you've said no every other time? If you're not saved, your heart is getting harder and harder. Just like Pharaoh, who hardened his heart. And eventually God hardened his heart. And he could not do God's will. Is that you? Have you said no to the Lord so long that God will harden your heart and there will be no chance? Crucifying the Son of them to themselves, the Son of God afresh. The Lord Jesus, we sang about the man of sorrows. His precious blood that He shed, all that He gave for you. And you turn your back on Him. It's as if you're spitting in His face again, crucifying Him again, putting Him to an open shame. It's very serious. Almost saved. Lot's wife, she rejected salvation. She turned back and she lost her life. Another verse in Hebrews chapter 10. Lot's wife, she didn't get a second chance. She turned back and that was it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Maybe you don't like the fact that you have to admit, yeah, I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be punished for my sins. Do you think you're really that bad? Some of you younger ones, perhaps you haven't really done anything real bad. But if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no sin worse than rejecting Him. Everyone has to accept the Lord Jesus at some time. And there's all ages here. And if you don't accept the Lord Jesus His way, perhaps you think you're good enough. That's not a way to get to heaven. There's only one way, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His shed blood that He shed for you on the cross. What He suffered for you. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Either you make the choice for life and blessing tonight, or you make the choice for judgment and reject Him tonight. In Acts we're told that God commands you to repent. He commands you to repent. He loves you so much that He was willing to come down and take that punishment for you. And He commands you to repent. In Psalms it says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Are you going to say no to God? Please, don't reject Him. He's done so much for you. Don't reject Him tonight. Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. There's one more thing. There was judgment. And unless... Look in Luke 13 and verse 3. Luke 13 and 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. God commands you to repent. If you don't repent, there's judgment. There's punishment. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You have an opportunity tonight for pardon and forgiveness. That's the light. Come into the light. The Lord Jesus will show you what you are, and that there is judgment, and that you need to repent from your sin. Don't live in darkness. Don't reject the light. Man preferred the darkness so they might continue in their sin. Please, don't reject the Lord Jesus and His love. Don't reject the light. Come into the light so you might enjoy that eternal life. In verse 36 it says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's the choice again. Life or the wrath of God. Live in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ in a place that He's prepared for you. Or spend eternity in hell, in a place that He's prepared for the devil and his angels. Hebrews chapter 2, the verses read earlier. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I think that's the most loving thing the Lord could do, to display His love for you. You and I who deserve to go to hell to be punished. The Lord Jesus came down and took that punishment for your sin because He loves you. There's no greater love than that for the Lord Jesus, than for Him to come and take your judgment, take your death. What happens if you reject that love? Let's look over in Revelation before we close. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in those books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a day when you will stand before God. If you're saved, the books are going to be opened. There's a book with all the list of sins and account of your whole life that you've ever done. He's going to look at my name. He's going to see Tim. And he's going to have the whole account of my life. And I don't want anybody to see that. But you know what? He's going to find the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's going to be nothing. Then he's going to find the book of life, and he's going to find, oh, there's my name. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There's going to be happiness and joy and blessing forevermore. Don't you want to be there? If you aren't saved and the books are opened, the whole account of your life is going to be spread out. And he's going to say, there's no blood here. Maybe you pray, Lord, Lord, when you pray. Matthew, we're told, those who pray like that, Lord, Lord, and don't mean it, they've pretended. He'll say, depart from me, and he'll have his attendants cast you into outer darkness. That's very solemn. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You have a choice tonight. Confess to the Lord Jesus that you're a sinner. Repent from your sin. Tell Him that you deserve to die and be punished for your sin. And ask Him to save you. You have that choice tonight. Why don't you make that choice? Choose Christ tonight. In closing, maybe we could sing number 21. Decide for Christ today. Maybe even while we're singing this hymn, you can decide. Make your choice and decide for Christ today.
Decide for Christ today.